My second gift is a golden net. Can you recognise it? Nope. I definitely couldn't. Not when I started. I went to the London Buddhist Centre because my life was in a complete pickle. And I'd had some bizarre intuition in my body that it was meditation that I needed. That was all. I already knew what I thought about life, the universe and everything. I thought all that out when I was at university, the last time I was suicidally depressed. It was all quite clear. Everything was impermanent. It all ends. We all die. Until that happens, it's mostly painful, but occasionally there are less painful bits. Meanwhile, we best do what we can to make it better for each other. If you work hard enough, it's a kind of analgesic, so best do that, eh? I was sorted as far as my views went, I thought. I felt a particular responsibility for trying to make things better for other people, partly because I'm quite good at organising things and making things happen, but partly also because I'd had an experience when I was young, which I used to think of as a kind of vision, that there was a big special thing that I had to do with my life, save the world or something like that. Looking back, I'm less convinced that was a vision and more inclined to suspect it was remarkably congruent with a narrative, that story that I'd woven from when I was quite young about being very special. I'm the youngest of three by 9 years, and I was spoilt rotten when I was young. I was told I was very special. And I also had this other secret that I've talked to many of you about before, which was that I'd been subject to inappropriate sexual activity from when I was seven, and that was a secret, and I knew I wasn't allowed to talk about it. My bright, quick mind worked out what to do with this, and I came up with a set of views to accommodate that, to explain that, some of the influences from my parents. But I didn't have much to go on, and I had this way of looking at the world which just didn't function. It was a very big view which I lived by for decades. Shreds of it still surface even now when I'm under duress, and they cling around my legs like bits of seaweed or bindweed and trip me up. But largely, that's what's changed through my life of Dharma practice in the Sangha. So I want to fast forward a bit in my narrative to 1995. And I was sitting under a tree in Vijayashree's garden in Crystal Palace in South London. I'd asked to be a Mitra, and she was the Mitra convener. And she wanted to find out a bit about my understanding of the Dharma. I remember telling her how much I loved and obviously thought I understood the Buddhist teachings on shunyata, often translated as emptiness or voidness. I enthused about that at some length and eventually realised she'd gone rather quiet. Without her needing to say very much, I realised that the way I was speaking was entirely devoid of positive emotion. It was kind of cold and harsh and rather clinical. I began to realise that I must have missed something about shunyata. Where was the metta? I think it was some time after that, I was in a study day at the Croydon Buddhist Centre, and again, I was enthusiastically talking about my understanding of shunyata. Hadn't quite learned. And I can't remember quite how it was that I got gently challenged about this again, but something gave, something shifted, and I began to see, oh, this view that I've been living by, it's... Well, I'll read you the poem that I wrote. I held a view of shunyata tightly and close to my heart, like a mother with a wounded child. I held it so close, I was no longer aware of what it was. It was obscured by my clinging. Then one day, in safe company, I held it out, in pride, to show what I had salvaged. Dismayed, to find it dead, turned to dust, which fell in the lightning fracture of rainbow hues made bright by my tears. My views began to crumble and crack. The light began to get in. So for me, the gift of the golden net has been a gradual understanding that the deepest truths about life are not those that I cobbled together myself as a child, as a student, from what I was given. A bleak, relentless struggle that ends with death. the deepest truths described by the Dharma and shown to me by my friends in the Sangha reveal profound interconnectedness and love. They reveal that shunyata is an open dimension of being, not a synonym for annihilation. They reveal that imagination and creativity can change the world we live in beyond recognition. And they reveal that what we can do and what we can become together is amazing. My life has changed beyond recognition from that time I talked about, because I've been able to receive the gift of the Dharma, the gift of the golden net, from my friends in the Sangha. And I'd never have got it all by myself, just by reading or even listening to talks and videos. It's needed real human beings, it's needed the Sangha, friends in the Sangha, to come into relationship with me, deeply into relationship, to care for me and to pierce through the very well-defended shell of my own self-protection and concealment. It's needed people as part of a vision that I can love, that I can love more than my familiar old ways of being. Those old ways of being were painful, but they were familiar, and I derived some sense of safety from their familiarity. So it takes a lot to shift that reliance to a different way of seeing, and it comes about through those personal connections and relationships that we have in the web of the Sangha. There was a tipping point one day in July 1995 when I was on retreat at Rivendell, engaged in intense Dharma study and practice with Saramati. I can't begin to conjure up for you now the extraordinary vision of the breadth and the depth, the sheer multidimensionality of the Dharma which he evoked in us on that retreat, and which somehow, through the practice we did together, I felt that we kind of embodied. But I can remember very clearly that there was a moment when I sat on a green bench in the garden at Rivendell, and I knew, as much as I ever knew anything, that there wasn't anything I'd ever wanted to do, anything I'd ever wanted to be, that I couldn't do better than as part of the Sangha. I knew that I wanted to devote my life to ask for ordination, to be part of this order, this Sangha. That was 10 years from then until I joined the order, and it was just over 10 years ago that I was ordained. So it's quite a long time now. And it's been in that time I've been amazed again and again by the way in which the simple, profound principle of praticca samuppada, of conditioned co-production, which Bhante's really stressed to us, is absolutely the heart of the Dharma. How it can reveal more and more deeply our radical interconnectedness. Almost whatever words we use to try and describe this fall short, but I wanted to read you some words of Bhante's, which come from this new volume, from The Complete Works, volume 3, on the Three Jewels, where he describes this. Causality is a complex web. Anything that happens or comes into being does so as a result not of one cause, but of many. Indeed, this is an aspect of the Buddha's insight into reality. If one reflects on the factors that have produced the coming together of any phenomenon, there is simply no end to them. Consider, for example, what has caused the loaf of bread or bag of rice in your kitchen. Think of the people involved. What caused them? Think of their ancestry stretching back into beginningless time. Think of the sun and the rain and the earth. Think of transportation and packaging materials. Really, there is nothing and no one who has not been involved in the coming into being in your kitchen of that loaf of bread. This is, incidentally, another way of coming at the truth of anatman, no separate selfhood. And that's the companion teaching to the teaching on shunyata I was talking about earlier. Reflection shows us that nothing has an own being separate from everything else. Everything and everyone is interconnected. To illustrate this, Mahayana Buddhism gives us the image of Indra's net, an infinite net of jewels, each of which reflects all the other jewels in the net. There's a wonderful description of Indra's net in footnote number 297, which I recommend. I haven't got time to read it to you, but one of the joys of this is that there's just a tremendous wealth of those things buried, and that's one of them. So Indra's net. And I think the image of Indra's net is a very valuable way of understanding our order and our movement. It's as if each order member, and potentially each member of the Sangha, both contributes to this net and is inspired and illuminated by it. Some of the Buddha's last words were to exhort his disciples to be lamps unto themselves. We need to become individuals. We need to have our own inspiration, to be able to rely on our own practice. At the same time, we also need to understand our radical interdependence, whereby we become the conditions which support and challenge each other to grow and change. We're all jewels in the net. Jewels shine and reflect the light because they're tumbled and polished. And the Sangha can be like a jewel tumbler, which can polish and shine us so that we can let in the light of the Dharma, let it shine ever more clearly through us. And like Nandavajra, I'm aware of us celebrating the Sangha at a time when there is a lot of discussion, there's a lot of controversy, there's quite a lot of jewels being tumbled. And I thought, well, what if this process, this time of controversy we're in at the moment, was just the jewel tumbler at work, tipping and polishing us up, not without bumps, but so that each jewel in this net of Indra, which is our interconnected order and Sangha, grew better able to reflect all the others. And what if that process of tumbling and tipping and polishing was happening in a perfectly timely manner, while at the moment we still have the chief jewel, Sangharakshita, with his maybe unique capacity to reflect the Dharma in all the others? And what about if this tumbling, tipping, polishing process was effective, so that when we don't have the chief jewel with us any longer, we actually all begin to be able to do this for ourselves, to let the light of the Dharma shine through us for the sake of all beings?